version one is always better than version none, right? And so if you think about it like that, you just got to get the first version out there.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yonah Weiss, and it is a beautiful day today. I hope you are seeing the same. I think it's a beautiful day every day because rain or shine, it's just a matter of how you look at the world. And so that's kind of how I'm feeling right now. I'm very happy to be joined by my friend Dan Hanford out of Columbia, South Carolina. A little bit about Dan. Dan is a father, a husband, an entrepreneur. He's owned several businesses, you know, seven-figure businesses. He's now currently a very active multifamily syndicator. Okay, their firm and the bio that he sent me was before they made their recent acquisition a couple of weeks ago. So now your portfolio is worth $274 million, and that includes over 2,200 apartment units. Besides that, he also has invested passively in over 21 syndications with other
23 now.
Okay, so just
it's already outdated.
It's incredible. In a few weeks, you know, this guy's bio is outdated. We got to update it every few weeks, and that's the beauty of entrepreneurship is that there are new opportunities every single day, and it's just a matter of jumping on. So Dan, without further ado, you know, I appreciate you for coming on here. Just a few more things. I just can't talk enough about Dan because he's got the Multifamily Investor Nation podcast, which is now the top, you know, multifamily podcast that's out there. He's got the Multifamily Investor Nation Summit, which is coming up in just a week or two. I think end of next week.
Yeah, next week.
Which I've spoken at three times in the past. And it's an incredible experience of learning from really experts in the industry. Everything you need to know about multifamily investing. I'm a virtual summit. So I highly recommend I don't know if this show may not get out before.
Well, that's okay because we do them twice a year. So the next one's coming up in January, 2021.
Awesome. Okay. So Dan, let me ask you, in this journey of, you know, transitioning from being the CEO of a multi-million dollar company, moving into full-time real estate professional, what do you say was the number one challenge that faced you in making that transition?
In the syndication space, obviously we're raising money from investors. And so most of the investors when I first got started were just people that were already in my network. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest challenge at that point was, wait a minute, I thought you did that over there and now you're doing this? Like they couldn't connect the two.
So it's like, do you have any sort of like imposter syndrome of like, hey, I don't even know what I'm doing here. Like, you know, there are people that have been doing this for years and now I'm getting into this.
Not really. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me was I wanted to make sure that I really learned what I was doing before I started to communicate that with investors. And, you know, I like to teach. I don't like to, you know, like teach in like a school setting or anything, but I like to learn something and then be able to have an outlet to teach it. And when you can actually learn something to the point of being able to teach others, it really cements it even further for your education. And it also, especially within multifamily, I talk about how, you know, speaking the language of multifamily, it is a language.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to learn a language is by immersion, right? And that's talking and speaking and being a part of that entire language every single day. And I think that's one thing that has definitely helped me. But in the beginning, you know, I didn't really necessarily feel like it was imposter syndrome because I knew that that was going to be a problem because I'd already talked to some people about it. So what I decided to do early on is actually, instead of just trying to put together my deals myself, I wanted to lean on somebody else's credibility. So I actually started to partner with other people first. I think our first two or three deals, we actually partnered with somebody else to say, hey, now we're actually partnering with this other group over here, and they have, you know, $500 million in their portfolio, and they got this kind of credibility and that credibility, and we're just helping them out. It helped kind of bridge that gap of lack of credibility, not even just with the investors, but also with the sellers and the brokers.
Absolutely. That's incredible insight into it. And I always say that, you know, the best way of learning, And I relate to very much what you say, because I love to teach, not necessarily in a school environment, but also just anything, you learn something. But, you know,
it's really providing value, you know, providing value to other people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But learning, the best way to learn is to just immerse yourself and to apprentice alongside those who've already done what you are wanting to do. And, you know, you become an expert at that in the process of just learning, you know, and spending time with those people who are experts in that field. So that's incredible. So now, you know, you guys have a full-time business and you have, you know, a number of employees, and you guys have really built out an incredible team, incredible offerings, and you're constantly building, you know, kind of new things. And that's one thing that I admire about you, is an entrepreneur, you know, never kind of complacent on, okay, I've done this, now I have this. It's always, what's the next step? So in that light, now that we're in this current, you know, COVID situation, I mean, you guys just took down a $50 million apartment community in the midst of this COVID situation. So I think that just goes to show what kind of a mindset that you guys have. But my question to you was, you know, what kind of goals have you been setting, and anything differently has changed because of this situation?
Sure. I mean, I don't think anybody has not been affected in some form or fashion with the COVID-19, you know, some lesser than others and some more. But I feel like, you know, one of the things that, you know, one of our goals we set out in the very beginning of this year is that we're going to close $200 million worth of assets this year and maybe even get to $300 million. We're not going to do that. I don't think we're going to be able to do that. I was actually just talking to an investor before I got on here with you. And, you know, he asked me the kind of the same thing. What are you seeing on the horizon? And, you know, we actually had two deals, one that had already been awarded to us and another one that was about to be awarded to us right before COVID hit. And that's in addition to the one we just closed. And so our goal was to put together between like 5 to 7 deals this year. And, you know, I think we'll at least get one more, but I think we'll be lucky to get 3. You know, I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where we're going to be able to do that. I could be totally surprised, and I hope we are. But I think the biggest reason for that is that a lot of sellers have pulled back and are not selling their assets right now, us included. We had 4 assets that we were actually getting ready to be, you know, selling, and we ended up pulling back because we weren't being forced to sell, and we don't want to be selling in this kind of an environment. So like, well, we're going to wait till, you know, Q1 of 2021. And I think a lot of sellers are going to do that. You're going to see a lot more deal flow coming out in 2021. You know, obviously pending the election, because that's going to be another, you know, factor that's going to determine the velocity of the deal flow.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point. I've said this before also, because, you know, just something that I do, cost segregation. I mean, you know about that well, but
you do cost segregation.
It's something, you know, in my spare time, you know, when I'm not podcasting and hanging out on LinkedIn, you know, that's what we do. But, you know, one of the reasons why people wouldn't do that or would consider not doing it is because they have a shorter hold period and it may not be as beneficial. But what we're seeing with the current situation is that, like you're saying, a lot of sellers are actually holding longer than they had expected to. And therefore, a great way to capture a lot of tax benefit in that interim time period, you know, more people than ever are really taking advantage of it. So that's just a very interesting insight along that same wavelength. But this isn't a podcast about cost segregation. We just had to.
We had to plug that in there, right? I mean, come on.
From time to time.
Can't have a conversation with Yona about talking about cost seg.
Once in a while, I bring it up. And, you know, you're a family man, obviously. And your kids are still young, right? How old is your oldest?
All under 10. The oldest is 9. Got 9, 8, 3, and 2.
Are you in any way like giving them kind of guidance? Are they seeing, or have they noticed like any kind of difference between, hey, you were running, you know, this kind of medical supply business. I don't know if they were that aware at that time, but, and now you're doing like, you're all talking about real estate all the time, real estate. Has that been any conversation with your kids about that?
Absolutely. I mean, how can it not? You know, I mean, I eat, sleep and breathe it.
I know.
You know, I think the biggest thing that they've seen as far as a change is that I'm actually spending more time with them at home, because, you know, I have the flexibility of time right now. Whereas before, I was going into the office every day, putting out fires, being the CEO of my clinics that I own. And now I've stepped back from being the CEO of those clinics, and I'm all full time into the passiveinvesting.com team and kind of growing that aspect of the business. And they see that. And of course, they listen to me have phone calls and do podcasts. And, you know, so they ask questions and things like that too. And, you know, one of the things that we do for our investors is I'll grab one right here. For those of you who are watching the video, we have a little nice, this is our June edition that we just sent out. there's stuff that we do inside of here. You can see that there's a little coloring page in there for the kids.
Oh, so
on the back, we do a little word search. And so there's things we do to kind of involve the family, and this helps them be able to, you know, learn a little bit more and ask questions about multifamily and investing and things like that too. Cause I wish I would have known about it years ago.
That's so cool. And I think it's really cool also that your, one of your partners, Danny Randazzo, actually wrote a book about real estate investing and about cash flow.
He's on his third one right now. So he's wrote two already that's been published, and he's on his third one. So,
because that's something that's so needed. And, you know, some of the things we talk about in this podcast are like, you know, what kind of subjects should have been taught in school that aren't? Okay. And we've asked that a few times to different guests, but, you know, this cash flow and real estate investing, this is something that should be taught. So I think it's an amazing thing that you guys are doing that, kind of leading by example.
Yep. Well, the biggest thing is with our communication we have with our investors is we want to give them an avenue to be able to bring in the next generation to be able to invest. And you know, I think that's one of the missing components is, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, my parents never talked about finance. It was always kind of a hush-hush, quiet thing, and you don't talk about it. I try to be as open and honest with them as possible. I mean, I pull up my bank accounts and I bring my kids over. Hey guys, look at this. And I show them, I'm like, what's that number right there? You know, like, oh, that's got two commas in it. You know, I wanted them to see that and be, you know, not to be scared of money, right? I don't want them to be scared. I want them to be passionate about it and realize that, you know, money is a tool. It's a tool that, as long as you use it properly, it can, you know, benefit you greatly. It can also do some detrimental things as well. But, you know, you have to be able to respect money, but you don't want to be fearful of it.
Yeah, you don't want to be fearful of money, but you also don't want to be, you know, uneducated. Like you said, the finances really should be taught at a young age. And these kids at this age, I mean, your kids are under 10, right? 9 years old. A little Caleb, right? He's...
That's right. He's 8 years old.
8 years old. You gotta train them young because, like you said, this is about a family involvement. It's about wealth building, and this is a generational wealth that you're trying to build here and, you know, continue on. Now, one thing that I think we share in common, and I've also really noticed about what you're doing, is this kind of bringing together, right, so many different people for different venues, different events and things like that, like this virtual multifamily investor nation, right? So you're not only bringing together, you know, 30, 40, 50 experts, you know, or experts in their own realm, okay, right? And, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, I don't know how many have at this point, but hundreds of people who want to be educated in this. And you got a Facebook group that has, I don't know how many thousand.
Yeah, the Facebook group's up to, I think, probably 7,000 or 8,000 now. But all together, not even including the Facebook group, but just like our list of people and members, I would say is just over 26,000 now, part of the MFIing group.
So that's incredible in building that. And this is something that I'm actually just trying to do myself in different ways. So that's why I'm asking for my own purposes here. But obviously, everyone listening to this is going to be, you know, getting a ton of value here. Hopefully that Dan can share all of his secrets with us. No, but
I'm an open book, Yana.
I know you are, which is why I'm asking, what are some of those things that in starting it, okay, and you're about to start like this venture, and I know you like went all in. I mean, off on every platform and everything. And Dan Hanford is, you know, we'll just say it here publicly, single-handedly responsible for getting me on Facebook, okay?
I will take credit for that. I do remember that for sure.
So all you guys who are listening and going to join the new Facebook group that we're starting, Dan Hanford is single-handedly responsible. So I give him a lot of credit for that and appreciation.
Well, do I get any royalties for that?
Yeah, your royalties.
How about some discounted cost seg studies maybe? Or
you certainly should. but what were some of those like things at the beginning that were imperative in that process in setting something like that up?
I think the biggest thing that I see a lot of people make the mistake of is not being consistent with it. So they start something, and I've seen this happen a lot of times, especially with podcasts where, and you've probably seen it too, and maybe even been on some people's podcasts where they, you know, do 10, 20, 30 episodes and all of a sudden they're gone. Like they just stop doing it. And it's frustrating a lot of times for people who have spent the time to do an interview and then all of a sudden they pull the podcast down. But it's a mistake that I see a lot of people doing, where they'll start to do a particular, you know, task to promote, whether it be start a Facebook group or do a podcast, do a YouTube channel, post some content on blogs such as, like, you know, Bigger Pockets or LinkedIn or wherever, and they basically stop doing it because in the short term, they're not seeing the results. And I'll tell you, in the beginning, I mean, I didn't really see a big result either. I mean, on our website back then, we were seeing maybe 3 to 5 investor leads off of our website with all the stuff that we were doing, because my whole Multifamily Investor Nation group is not designed to get a bunch of coaching students or, you know, have them pay me for that kind of stuff. It's a lot of free, valuable content for people who are interested in investing in multifamily. And through that, I find people that either are active syndicators that, you know, can't invest with their own IRA, like their self-directed IRAs or 401ks. And so we got a lot of high-level syndicators that invest with us with their self-directed retirement accounts. But then we also get people who are thinking that they want to be active, and they realize all the different moving pieces and parts and how complicated it actually is. Because I know some people might think it's easy, but it's really not. It's really complicated. It's not complicated in that each task is complicated. It's just that each task in and of itself is fairly straightforward and fairly easy. But there's just so many of those little tasks that it makes it more complicated, right?
Absolutely.
And those people come to find out, they throw their arms up and say, forget it, I don't want to do this. Here's my money, you deal with it, right? And so in the beginning, when I started the whole platform, it was only, you know, like I said, 3 to 5 people a month. And I'll pull it up right here while we're on, and I'll tell you what we're at. Just right now, I'm looking at we use ActiveCampaign for our CRM. I know you and I talked about that a little bit and kind of offline, and you're kind of transitioning to ActiveCampaign. We've been using it now for going on a year, maybe a little over a year. But just in your dashboard, you get like a total of how many leads have you got in off of your website over the last rolling 30 days. And so just right now, we've had 112 over the last 30 days that have come to the website.
Wow.
And it dropped a little bit during COVID to like maybe like 45, 50, but then like a couple weeks later, just jumped right back up to where it normally was. And even pre-COVID, it was usually hovering around like 80 to 90, 95. And now it's, you know, like you said, 112 in the last 30 days. So it's because we've been staying consistent, and all that consistent content generation helps to promote the other content that's out there as well. But one of the things that I see is like I said earlier, people start something and they just stop doing it because they don't see the results. But you just wonder, you know, I can't remember who published this, but I saw something recently with a person who was mining for gold, and they're digging and digging and digging and digging, and they all of a sudden just stopped. They take like a side view of it, and they were just like 1 little foot away from inching into that gold, and they just stopped too soon, you know?
That's right. We don't see the results of our actions. And oftentimes we'll never see the results of our actions, but they're making huge, huge waves. And it's kind of like, even if you don't see those results, there's something, you know, called the butterfly effect, right? Where you may not see this. This was something written, a theory, you know, many years ago, but that a butterfly can flap its wings, and the wind that will cause from that, you know, will travel around the world and can cause like a storm and a hurricane, you know, on the other side of the world. But it's just those little tiny steps, those little movements, those little actions that we need to do. And be consistent with them. That's incredible advice. I really appreciate that, because it's something I need to hear right now. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this need to hear this, because especially in this current situation, a lot of people are thinking about starting new ventures or kind of going more full-time into a side hustle or something where they, you know, maybe see the potential. Real estate investing is a perfect example, right? But there's so many moving parts, like you mentioned, it seems daunting. But be consistent, take those small steps, and do them consistently. And what else? Because obviously there's a lot more to the picture.
Sure, sure. The biggest thing that I see also is people need to first start with something that they enjoy doing so that they can make sure that they can stay consistent with it, right? And so to give you an example, if somebody likes to be in front of a camera, well, they should be doing video. They should be doing video content. If somebody prefers the audio side of it, well, maybe they just need to do a podcast, right? Or a radio show locally, or whatever the case may be. And if somebody really enjoys writing, well, do a blog. Start a blog, start posting some content, start responding to some of these forum posts on Bigger Pockets and being consistent with it. And then you can always add on as you go throughout time. But I get people that will ask me, you know, and all the time, like, what's the number one thing that you do? And I don't have a number one thing. Like I've always tried to practice a multimodal approach to attracting investors. And I even do that in my clinics that I have, right? I'm attracting not investors, but patients, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have a multimodal approach to actually attracting those patients. Because what a lot of businesses do, and it's not just in multifamily, but what a lot of small businesses do is they get into this kind of cyclical pattern of when they first start their business, they do a lot of marketing and a lot of promotionals, and they're doing really well, and they get into that fat cat syndrome, and so they stop doing their marketing, and then all of a sudden their revenue starts to drop, and then they get into that, you know, oh crap mode, and they got to start marketing again. They have these huge sine waves and these ebbs and flows in their business, and that also can cause a lot of relational problems and financial issues and things like that. They dive even deeper than just the business problems themselves. And a multimodal approach to marketing allows you to have some consistency and not as many ebbs and flows, and the valleys are not as sharp. So it creates a lot of consistency, but it starts with starting with one thing and then building on top of that. So, and to give you an example of, like, there's not one thing that brings us the most, like my podcast that I have, you know, we talked about it earlier. You said to be in a top multifamily podcast on iTunes, and we're in the number one position right now for multifamily, which is great, but it's not always the number one thing, right? Like, there's other things that produce us leads, and it could be me being on a podcast, or the weekly webinars that I do for our group, the YouTube channel, the LinkedIn content, you know, the Facebook group, and everything that we do, the meetup groups we have across the country. We got 50 plus meetup groups in, you know, United States and Canada, and they meet the first Monday of every month. We got all kinds of different things going on. I didn't start it all at once. It was kind of a process of building it and putting it together, but there's not one of those things that produces the most leads, right? It's each one month, you know, the podcast might bring in, you know, 10 leads, where, you know, the being a guest on other podcasts might bring me in 5 leads. And then there will be another month where, you know, the YouTube channel brings in 1 lead, you know, and then it always changes month by month, but it's being consistent with that and having it out there so that you're not relying on just one avenue. And then when you're building out something like a Facebook group or a YouTube channel, you've got to do something to get them off of that channel to own them. Because what happens if Facebook comes along and shuts that group down or shuts you off of Facebook? Guess what? All your list and your business was caught up into that, that media. And you got to do something to get them off of that channel. Not necessarily off, but I mean, you got to build your list for them off of it, which is why we do weekly webinars and we require them to register for it. I could just like do a live Facebook feed, but I can never get people off of Facebook if all I do is a Facebook feed.
Right. Yeah. And you're obviously, you're saying collecting those, collecting that list and having leads, but you have to do something with that also, right? Yeah. So you have to build out content. You have to build out, add value in everything you're doing. And, you know, it's these free webinars and free, you know, value kind of things that you're doing constantly. For someone, they might think, well, I want to, you know, charge for that kind of stuff. You know, I could be giving seminars and, you know, lectures and coaching and be charging tons of money for all this, whereas you're doing it for free, right? Essentially, and in exchange for their contact information, right?
Well, I mean, and it's all about providing value to people. Exactly. I mean, the more value driving you can do for somebody, the more that they're going to want to do something back for you. And so for me, some of the benefits that I've seen is, you know, could I charge for some of this stuff and do some high level coaching? Absolutely, I could. I get people asking me every week to do it, but I don't have the time for it, nor do I need the money. And especially for the amount of money that I can make doing that versus continue to focus on more acquisitions and growing our group and our company and expanding and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's where my strengths and my skill sets are. I don't really prefer to do one-on-one coaching calls or anything like that. Right. And, you know, for me, it's all about just providing that value to other people. And some of these side benefits that I didn't even think about is, yes, there's the benefit of providing value, and those people that are getting the value are you know, benefiting from it or might eventually invest with you. But I've had phone calls with investors that say, you know, I heard about you through somebody else, and they heard about you through your webinars. And then I actually called and talked to a few other people, and nobody said anything bad about you. They all said really good things about you. You got a great group, a solid program. And I didn't even think about that kind of a side effect of other people talking good and having goodwill about the value that you're providing to the community.
Yeah. And you can't speak enough about that. And you can't fake that either, because the integrity, you know, shows. That's something that people see through immediately. I mean, anyone with a little bit of common sense can see right through that. So, you know, providing that value and doing that and being consistent and being approachable. I think you're doing all that successfully, and you should continue to do so. And I appreciate what you've shared with us, with me and our listeners today, because I think we can take so many things from here and just go and apply them. And that's really what this is all about, right? You learn something new, it's not enough to keep it in your head. You got to actually go and do it. And that's why, beforehand, we were talking offline with Dan, like, should I do this? Should I do that? And he's like, just do it, right? Don't say, maybe I'm going to do it, right? Just do it. And that's so true.
Well, and to that same point, Yonah, I know you're getting ready to wrap up, but to that same point, one of the biggest takeaways that if anybody is listening at what Yonah just said there is a phrase that I've always had in the back of my mind for many, many years is version one is always better than version none, right? And so if you think about it like that, you just got to get the first version out there, right? Like this newsletter that I just showed you, you should have seen the first version of it. It was terrible, right? it was a terrible piece of paper. It was like a half a piece of paper folded in half and quartered. It was terrible, but it was version one. But the problem is that when you get to that mindset of version one is always better than version none, just remember, you can still do a version 2.0, right? Or a version 1.2 or something like that. You always want to continue to perfect those versions of yourself and of the material that you put out and the content that you put out, but you got to start somewhere.
100%. That's extremely valuable. I'm very glad. And I was thinking that line because I know you said it before and I was thinking it and I didn't have it perfect. So I'm glad that you, I didn't mess it up and you shared that with us today. So that's awesome. So I want to jump into the final four because now's the time we're actually going to go a little deeper in these. And the first question, Dan, is what was the worst job that you ever had?
Worst job that I ever had. Does it have to be a job that I was paid for?
No, it does not.
When I was growing up, my mom always had us clean the house. And the chore that I used to hate the most is cleaning the bathroom. And I would spend hours and hours cleaning that thing. So my mom was a big clean freak. Like she wanted everything clean. She was very OCD. And she would come in there after me spending a couple hours cleaning it, and she'd always find something wrong with it, right? But I always try to do my best to clean that, but that was probably something that I didn't like to do and hope I never have to do.
That's great. I have kids, also, and help help them. I didn't have that job growing up, but yeah, I can totally relate. Number two, what is a book that you've read that has given you a paradigm shift?
Sure. Well, I read it probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it was actually by Grant Cardone, The 10X Rule. And that book, for me, really helped me to kind of encapsulate the mindset of growth. And even though I'd already up to that point had a lot of growth, it helped me kind of think even bigger from where I currently was, which I think is what helped me kind of get to the point where we are today.
Excellent. Yeah. Incredible book, Growth Mindset. Just a synopsis. Think about having goals that are 10 times, bigger than what you think you can do, and you'll eventually get there.
And my suggestion is the Audible version of that book, because Grant himself actually does the Audible version of that. He does some ad-libbing, and it's pretty comical.
Yeah. Actually, I heard the Audible version of that also, so I agree with that. What is a skill or talent that you'd like to learn?
Well, one thing I've always wanted to learn is graphic design. And I'm the type of person that knows what I want when it comes to graphics, but I don't know how to get it to where I want it to be. That's a skill that I would like to learn. Well, will I ever learn it? Probably not, because I have a team now that does that for me, but it's definitely something I would like to learn.
As long as you can instruct them and they get what it is that you want.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be good. And the fourth and final question is, what does success mean to you?
Sure. Well, and when it comes to success, I had this question asked to me a couple times before, and success to some people is how much money you have in the bank, right? And, if for all intents and purposes, if, most of your listeners saw my bank account, you'd probably say, oh, he's reached the level of success. But mm-hmm. I know people that have more money than I have that I would say that are not successful, because the biggest success driver that I see is having the ability to control your own time, right? And not having to do certain things on a particular time frame or timeline, and really having that flexibility of controlling your time. Because even my wife and I this morning were sitting out on our back porch overlooking our pool talking. We do that every morning. We try to when the weather's nice, and even when it's raining, it's nice because we have a little covered area. But we talk about things throughout the day. And this morning we were talking about how there's so many different things that I could do, and even more than what I'm doing now. But I think right now with where my kids are, they're in their formidable years, and I want to be able to be there for them. I want to be able to spend time with them. And to me, that's the success that I've been looking for, is having that flexibility of being able to control my own time, to stay home if I want to stay home, or you know, go to their games that they're playing games, and really be a part of their life and not be that absentee father that I see a lot of families I'm growing up with.
Unbelievable. Yeah, beautiful. I 100% agree with that. That's beautiful. Thank you, Dan. I love your answers, and I'm so glad that you joined us today, and I appreciate you taking the time out. Where can our listeners find you?
Sure. There's two easy ways to find me. So you can go to our passiveinvesting.com website. If maybe you're wanting to find out more information about investing passively, you can go there. There's also a place there to sign up for our Passive Investor Club, where you can learn about some of our future opportunities. When you join that, there'll be a little button that you'll click, and you'll fill out the form, and then I'll actually jump on a phone call with you, one-on-one, discuss your investment goals and see if we're a right fit for you. We might not be. But then for those of you who are maybe looking at more of the active side of investing, you know, you can obviously go to our multifamilyinvestornation.com page and sign up for our weekly email list. And we send out a weekly email about the webinars that we do. And you can continue to follow us, of course, on our podcast as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan. Again, it's been a pleasure. It always is. And look forward to seeing you again soon in person, whenever that time might be. I know we were supposed to be in Chicago together at a conference just a couple of weeks ago. It didn't happen.
Yep.
But, you know, well, that day will come again. So I look forward to that. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this as well. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.